JPMorgan Chase will pay regulators a whale of a fine.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. What the J.P. Morgan CEO once termed a tempest in a teapot has turned out to be something more than that. Regulators are saying this morning the bank has agreed to pay $920 million in fines in the case of bad financial bets made by a Morgan trader dubbed the London Whale. This dwarfs even the $550 million that Goldman Sachs had to pay to settle a mortgage case 3 years ago. Marketplace's David Weinberg, is the heart of this about failure to disclose what went on?
Right. The SEC said in a statement that J.P. Morgan broke the cardinal rule of corporate governance and deprived its board of information regarding the $6 billion bad bet J.P. Morgan made back in 2012. What's most surprising, though, is that J.P. Morgan admitted wrongdoing. And that rarely happens in cases like these because it makes it easier for investors to file lawsuits against the bank. And that's exactly what they're doing right now to J.P. Morgan.
In a memo this week, Morgan's CEO Jamie Dimon said the bank has been aggressively bringing in new personnel to beef up auditing and compliance safeguards. Who knew the Federal Reserve was going to keep buying just as many bonds to stimulate a still damaged economy? Certainly not most financial market analysts who had been telling us in recent days stuff like this.
What we expect to have today is the Fed will be buying less securities than they bought the previous month.
We think that they are going to begin to back off this bond buying program.
There's a very strong expectation, 10 billion treasuries, but something else would surprise the marketplace.
Well, surprise, when policymakers at the Fed concluded their meeting yesterday, there was no trimming of its stimulus. This has left some of the forecasters feeling led down the garden path. You need to remember that money will have been lost taking financial positions based on the big prediction that did not come true. I want to check back in with Drew Mattis, senior U.S. economist at UBS Securities. Greeting, Mr. Mattis.
Good morning.
What do you think the Federal Reserve policymakers know that market analysts missed?
I don't think it's that they know anything that we missed. It's a combination of factors. The chairman hasn't been out talking for almost 2 months now, so we didn't really have any sort of update into his thinking. And I think what we underestimated was his concern regarding the whole fiscal policy story ongoing in Washington. Honestly, though, if we had known about that, I would have tended to dismiss it because I don't really think that's part of the Fed's purview anyway. Maybe that's just sour grapes on my part.
I don't know about that, but the thing is, Chairman Bernanke is making an interesting point that there's potential rockiness to come as they fight it out in Washington over the budget and the debt ceiling, and that the economy may need some kind of buffer that Fed stimulus might provide.
To that point, I guess I would say, of course, there's a risk of something going wrong, but there's always going to be a risk of something going wrong. And the question is, well, now when do they go? October is probably not going to give us that much more clarity. December is in the middle of the holiday shopping season. If you want to talk about a risk to the economy, try disrupting the equity market during that time. And so then you might be thinking first quarter of next year. And, of course, a lot can go wrong between now and the first quarter of next year.
So fascinating. And there'll be a new Fed chairman probably sometime during that first quarter who may have to make the decision themselves.
Absolutely. And maybe that's a reason not to go. And then if you're not going in January, you're probably not going to go in March because the incoming Fed chair just got seated. You can see how this game can just play out indefinitely.
Drew Mattis, senior U.S. economist, UBS. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Looking for a steal on a house? There's a handful of them going in Indiana for a dollar, but you better be handy because the rules are strict about fixing up these houses and getting them to code quickly once you pay the dollar. They're available to locals in Gary, Indiana, a city hit hard by the mortgage crisis and the long decline of U.S. steel. The mayor of Gary is Karen Freeman Wilson.
You can get the house for a dollar, but then you're required to bring it up to code. It's our estimation on the houses that the cost will be between $25,000 and $50,000, dependent on the house.
So what would a buyer have to do? We're talking about some plumbing, maybe some roofing? I don't know.
Plumbing, roofing, there may be some electrical wiring. So some of it is substantive, some of it is aesthetic, but all of it has to be done in a period of 6 months.
Tell me about the goal of this. Why unload these houses for a buck?
The goal is to really stabilize neighborhoods. And so these homes are in a neighborhood where the majority of people on the block are maintaining their homes. And you have maybe one or two homes on the block where people are not. And so you get someone in the house, they make the house a home. And not only do you raise the value of the dollar house, but you also raise the value of that community.
It's always such a vivid reminder that when one or two houses on a block fall into foreclosure or fall into disrepair, it really becomes a public policy issue.
And that's really the message that we're sending with this program because, you know, people say, well, it's only 12 houses, but the impact that those houses will have will be just exponential.
Now, Mayor Freeman Wilson, you did something like this with a house some years ago?
I did exactly this. When I first moved back to Gary after law school, you know, coming out of school, you've got student loans, you've got all of those things that go with being a new graduate. And so I couldn't afford a mortgage, but certainly I could afford to fix this house up on my own terms.
Karen Freeman Wilson, mayor of Gary, Indiana. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
The Wall Street Journal has a position open. They're looking for a mansion reporter, someone with expertise in mansions, you know, the houses with all the chimneys. Just goes to show that while newspapers and magazines are clawing for ad revenue, there's one segment of the industry that's having less trouble, the luxury market. And as Gigi Duban reports, media outlets are responding.
Say I wanted to apply for the new reporter's job at the luxury website veryfirst2.com. According to the job description, I'd have to be able to, quote, distinguish between the roar of a Bentley and a Lexus engine. Now, I've never been in a Bentley, so can I get the job?
Well, you certainly appear to qualify on the personality traits, but unfortunately, we're looking for someone who is really acquainted with loads of aspects of luxury.
That's Marcel Noble, founder of VeryFirst2.com. The site previews products and experiences for wealthy early adopters. Rick Edmonds, media business analyst with the Poynter Institute, says media outlets are hiring people to write the stories that go around luxury ads.
It would be kind of leaving money on the table not to do something that served that particular advertising market.
He says it's not just for the super rich. Plenty of people are happy to live like the Real Housewives of New York vicariously. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
If all this reporting on mansions seems a bit much, you should note that there are alternative publications, including Tiny House Journal, the Small House Journal, and the Small Living Journal. What these houses lack in square footage and room for the butler, they make up for in charm and energy efficiency. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.